easiest choice you can make. Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Fan.
Brother, brother, there's far too many of you die.
I think anyone who puckers up their lips and presses it against their boss's buttocks and then smooches is an ass kisser.
I seem to be inept at everything except my work. I'm good at my work, so I confine myself to that. All I want out of life is a 30 share and a 20 rating.
The man's enlarged my mind. He's a poet, warrior in the classic sense. I'm a little man. I'm a little man. He's a great man.
Think of it as colors. There's black and there's white. And in between is mostly gray. That's us. Now, gray is a tough color because it's not as simple as black and white. And for the media, certainly not as interesting. But it's who we are.
Of collaboration, leader, fan radio network, and KFAN.com. 1 minute, 14 seconds past the hour of 3 o'clock Central Daylight Time. Welcome back, Bumper to Bumper Show, live, local, downtown Minneapolis on a beautiful Friday afternoon here in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul. I am the host of the program. My name is Dan Barrero, former Inkstained Wretch, newspaper of the Twin Cities, Guardsy producer, and the two-time state high school tennis champion. We are delighted you chose to join us today. We are expecting to have a lot of fun. We are indeed at the People's Stadium from the press box, basically in the spots that Peter Bursich and Paul Allen are on Viking football Sundays or Mondays or Thursdays or whatever day. Today we're here convened because your Minnesota Vikings are convened here. They are in mid-practice as we speak right in front of us. Guardsy has already seen enough today of Kellen Mond in today's session to proclaim that he has already ascended to the backup quarterback job and that number 8 better be careful.
Stacking days. That's what he's doing. There have been 3 practices. We've been here for 2. And the stuff I've seen, it's been unbelievable. Now, I will say that I learned what they were out there Wednesday.
Yes.
Mond was throwing it all over the field, and I go, wow, he looks really good. And then Kevin O'Connell came over and said, yeah, we kind of went half speed today. And I said, well, that makes sense. Zimmer said he was in slow motion, like the first time the poor kid practiced a year ago in training camp. So maybe that's why he looked sharp, because everybody was in his speed. There he is, handing it off. I think that's Madison right side, bursting through the seam for a gain of 7.
Had good mechanics on that handoff,
yeah.
I thought.
Really sold it well. O'Connell gave him some love
and
there.
And then booted out without the ball to the left.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little fooled. I thought maybe he still had it.
Thought he might have kept it for a naked boot.
I thought he might have kept it. Here he is back from the gun again. You want to call it?
Yeah, it's Kenne Nwangu that's actually to his right, and he gets the snap. Couple step drop, looking over the middle, still looking. Now he comes off that check down,
Charlie.
The Jim Kleinsaucer, number 40.
Come on,
They're back with the Guardian helmets today. That was Zach Davidson. I heard PA talking about him a little bit earlier today.
Does it matter to you at all that as you're evaluating, literally there are no like defensive backs or defensive linemen or linebackers?
I factor that into the equation.
Okay,
be sure. It's like Kwesi. It's mathematical. It's analytical. I do factor that in.
Okay, I just want to be sure because that tends to have an impact, I think. Maybe he would look just as good with the full defense going full bore. I'm not exactly sure. The Borton-Volvo guest lineup today, very good, very strong, with maybe some surprises before we're done that we can't even get into at the moment. We do know this. We expect Kevin Seifert. We can see him. He is down field level. He will join us at 3:30. I'd originally tweeted out 4:35. We're moving him up to give us more space for what might be coming later. At the end of practice, which is supposed to wrap up about 4:15, we are expecting to be introduced, the first time we've had him on, to new interior defensive lineman Harrison Phillips, who's scheduled to join us. I'm looking forward to that visit, talking a little defense instead of always talking offense and number 8, JJ, and all that stuff. And in addition, we've got the bonus. Well, Lavelle is not here, but
no.
He is scheduled to join us. Lavelle Yaneel III at 5:30. At that point, this should be all wrapped up here anyway, so it's a good time to put Lavelle on.
I worry about them turning off the lights and stuff here.
That wouldn't shock
me. You know what I mean? Just shutting it down, but we'll find out.
Yeah, we'll find out the hard way. Well, maybe it'd still be bright enough that it wouldn't matter.
I just mean, like, the power.
Oh, you're worried about
the power. Yeah, like, they just shut it all down.
That would be a problem. That would be a problem.
In a few weeks.
Nordo, the established, estimable producer of the Paul Allen Project field level, he's going to give us some words I view. He basically has been given freedom to go. This is another example of this new coaching staff and how loosey-goosey they are. Instead of just sort of, you know, grunting at him the way Mike Zimmer would.
Right.
Kevin O'Connell says, where would you like to go?
Yeah.
Well, how can we make it easier for you to do your job? And so it turns out Nordo is going to be allowed to go pretty much wherever he wants. He might have some hot takes for us before this thing is done. As I mentioned, there might be a surprise or two before this thing is done as well. And is that it, guest-wise, for the moment that we can announce?
That's what we got. We got guests. We got Nordo. We might have some other things in the works towards the middle of the show, but otherwise we're here. And it's good. I'm glad to be back here, as much as I like Egan. It's good to be here. It's fun to see the stadium.
It is.
It's been a while.
You're reminded of what we're all working towards, which is football inside this facility. Call me a rank sentimentalist. I still kind of miss the Metrodome.
Well, I mean, it was the place I grew up in, so there will always be a soft spot.
There's a history to it.
Yes.
No matter how bad an arena it was viewed as, especially for baseball purposes, memories were made there.
Well, I will say,
both teams.
Every good memory I had from my childhood was in that building. Whether it was Randy Moss in 98, the Twins in 91.
Correct.
I remember some great Gopher football games in there. Not as many there. Obviously, the Michigan meltdown was in that building. But that's when it went down. I mean, I remember it was the Lions game. I think I still have the credential from that game. That's how sentimental I am about it. I walked down to where we had season tickets, section 101, row 7, where my dad would take us as kids. And I said, man, we'll never have this again. All these great moments. You know, the Randy Moss stuff, Qadri Ismail coming over down to the end zone, Chris Carter doing CC in the end zone, all of that. It was gone with the Dome. So I appreciated the Dome, and I think people my age did too.
Did they bring the Dome Dog over here?
I don't know if they did
for the traditionalists.
I don't think they did at Target Field.
They did at Target Field.
Yeah,
not
they
necessarily
tried to.
Here.
No, I don't think they did it here.
You could get a Dome Dog during Vikings games at the Metrodome, could you not?
Even though
more closely associated with the Twins.
Yes, I think you could. They didn't do Dollar Dog Day like they do Dollar Dog Night for the Twins. They didn't do that on any Vikings football Sundays. But you could get you could get the Vikings hot dog.
Fumble. Like we saw a fumble down there, defense swarming to the ball. Is there any other way for a defense to go but to swarm to the football?
No. All 11 men to the football.
It's a beautiful thing is what it is. And we got good light in here now, like you said, because it's beautiful outside, outstanding weather. I've got a lot of stuff early I want to get to. Well, we didn't talk about this. I don't know if you did yesterday. And part of it for me was when I heard him say it, I wasn't sure that it was something new. I thought that it was something perhaps he had said before, he being Paul Allen, the radio voice of the Minnesota Vikings. Somehow, earlier in this week, the subject of that infamous shove.
Oh, yeah.
Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. I didn't see this Zimmer, yesterday. Yeah.
And we celebrated a, was that an overtime victory?
Yes.
What game was that?
I don't remember.
I don't remember the game. And it got a lot of attention at the time because, well, the relationship, because it was Kirk seemingly trying to get Zim going. And I think at the time we all said, or many of us said, it looked at first as if Zim was PO'd. It looked like he was annoyed by it. And then maybe he decided to drop his guard a little bit and all, you know, we were having fun. It was a victory. We're just playing around, whatever the case may be. Well, the project brings it up out of nowhere.
Yeah, I saw Florio's tweet about it. Yeah.
That's what got me reminded on it. I saw some of the Florio stuff that he's written in which he made a big deal of that particular issue. And PA, so was this a reveal? Was this a tell that PA has not gone with previously?
I had never heard it before.
Okay.
Yeah.
Basically that Zimmer wanted to go. That he was so annoyed with what Cousins did that he wanted to punch him. I don't know if he used the word punch.
Yeah.
But that he was not very, you know, that he almost confirmed what a lot of us had kind of wondered about. Now, is that new information PA has? Or was it statute of limitations have run out long enough that I can go with something I felt was true at the time, but I wasn't interested in making a big deal of at the time? I don't know. But I did. I found that rather interesting. And it the thing that is fascinating about it is it goes right along with the new narrative that, that you know, they hated each other or that Zimmer hated him.
Right.
And now
thought he was
got,
forced upon him.
Right. And now we've got a quarterback and a head coach who are simpatico. They actually have spent some time together previously, correct?
Yes.
Was it Washington?
Washington.
And there's already... Well, I'll give you a good example of... Did you see the Ben Gessling story?
I
printed it.
Read most of them, yeah.
It's the one where he's talking about the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I may not have printed it, so I'll have to. I'll probably have to paraphrase.
I can pull it up too.
And it bugs me because the anecdote is, and it's a quote from Kirk. And as I remember it, it was a drill that had happened. I think it happened earlier in the spring. I don't think it had happened since we've commenced at TCO. But at any point on the play, Cousins, as he's reading the play, went away from the first option.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
And went to another, to his second or third option, reading it, you know, just going through his progressions, as they say in the business. And that O'Connell stops practice and says what?
I want you to take that first option with that look. Don't progress. And prior to him saying that, I would have progressed every time. We probably ran that play a half dozen times again in the spring, and when we got that look, I was going to take that first option.
Okay. Here's what bugs me about this. It because again it's we're full speed ahead on how what would I used to call Tibbs?
The oppressor.
The oppressor.
Yep.
Now we got the football
Prince
oppressor,
of Darkness.
Prince of Darkness, whatever. The implication there is that under the old regime, and I guess several offensive coordinators, no one would have ever said to him. No one would have ever said to him, stick with what we see. With that look, I want you to get the ball to that first person. But I don't believe that. I'm sorry. I don't believe it. Because it can't just be... First of all, he's not working every day just with Mike Zimmer. Okay,
right.
He's working with coordinators. I refuse to believe that a coordinator never said to him, no, you're going too fast this second. We want you to take a look at stay with the first. And couldn't you translate part of what Zimmer has said from time to time, which is you got to be able to throw the ball in there sometimes, that in effect is saying that don't go through your progressions quite as easily and predictably as you do? I just think it's too easy to turn this, there it is, open communication, everything's great. And it never would have occurred to number 8 on his own.
Right.
To say, well, occasionally, you know what I got to do? I got to be a little stubborn before I go off the original, the initial read.
Well, that's actually what I'm more annoyed by. Whether or not a coach, because Cousins seems to be a guy who does want to please his coaches. I do think he's a guy that
like
wants.
Like number 4.
very much so. Some type of relationship with them. But that Cousins, as a competitor over the years, wouldn't have gone, We ran the play, and you know what? I just wanted to hit the first option. I didn't want to go through the whole, you know, the whole journey to go through nine different reads to show right. how good I can be.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it is just, here's the play, here's the matchup, throw it there. It really isn't that complicated. That's what actually bothered me more, is that I would have liked at some point Cousins to say, yeah, there's times where I got to override it because I'm the one out there.
Yes,
and I'm exactly. the, I'm the one that has the instincts in
Bleep
the field.
It.
Yes, exactly. That's the part of it that
he's not a rookie. He's not right. in his third year. He's been around for, well, not as long as it feels, but he's been around a while. How many years has he been in the league? 8, 10?
Well, I was thinking he was at the 2011 Big Ten Media Day.
Okay,
that's how
about
a decade. That's how I mark. Yes.
Yeah, right,
so, and that was his last year. So right after that,
I don't know. I mean, we talked about this the day we were out there that. I do think that they're going to, if that's an example of them challenging him to say, you're going to have to make that throw, I do like that. But it's just, it's, the alarm bell should go off if number 8 at this point in his career has to be spoon-fed to that degree. I don't think that's necessarily a positive sign.
Here he goes from the 5, trips left, and Justin Jefferson's motioning back right. Now two receivers left and right. It's Dalvin Cook in the backfield. They're going to try to get it to Cook. Nope, looked off the first option. Back of the end zone to JJ!
That was
touchdown! Nice in double coverage, by the way.
That was in double, and he had a nice touch on it. That ball, you had to have enough zip on it, but it had to be lofted just a little bit, and he put it in there very, very nicely.
Hitman got lost there a little bit.
Are you worried about him?
No, I don't know. I'm
He's getting
saying.
Longer in the tooth.
Yeah, Justin kind of ran by him like he was
longer
tied to the goalpost.
In the tooth. First chance to put a grand in your hand. Brett Blakemore is holding down the fort in a very emotional St. Louis Park Fan Radio Network headquarters where Ryan Donaldson.
It's officially over.
It's over, unless we put him on at some point. How many shows has he been on today? All but ours?
Pretty much.
And you had him, but you had him yesterday.
Yeah, and I gave him the last 9 minutes of the show to basically give a... an Ed Marinaro-like speech.
Nice, was it?
Yeah.
Was it emotional?
It was, very emotional.
All right, let's get the grand in somebody's hand, Brett Blakemore.
Yeah, someone was cutting onions in here before I walked in here. Anyways, the Fan Hilltop Camper and RV want to put a grand in your hand at the National Cash Contest. You head to KFN.com, enter the keyword bonus. That is bonus for your shot at $1,000. KFN.com, keyword bonus.
More from the People's Stadium, and I have to admit it, I did a complete... one revolution, completely around the outside. I did not find Lester Bagley a single dead bird.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
I'm Mystic Lake.
From the People's Stadium, he is at Vikings practice. That's where we are. We're at a loftier perch, press box level. He is at, shall we say, field level, along with our guy Nordo, who's going to file perhaps a live report a little later as well. You know, you mentioned the Pro Football Talk, the Florio item where he trumpeted, made a headline out of the PA's comments that Zim wanted to... what's the term he used?
Go.
Go with Kirk Cousins.
That would have been great.
That celebration would have been tremendous.
I bet Cousins is scrappier than you'd think.
Oh, I you know,
for,
probably. Well, yeah.
For a guy
who
used to sing
true.
In the choir in high school and has a voice of an angel,
well,
I bet he can throw.
Well, and he's a little younger than Zim at this point. I'm not sure Zim is,
In his prime.
In his prime in that regard. I hope he wouldn't take advantage of the bad eye. You know, because in boxing, you would do that.
Yes,
you
would.
You just say, well, you got a bad eye?
Uh-huh.
Too
go
bad.
Right at it.
Yeah,
yep.
That's what you got to go right at. That would not be helpful. He also, in the story, does Florio quote from Lieber. As we talked about the comments that Lieber has made that aren't particularly new, but kind of gotten reconditioned a bit, heightened a bit, and become more of a national story as we get closer and closer to training camp. Let me read you what Florio says there. Lieber, who currently works on the team's radio broadcast, and previously made some waves by saying Zimmer didn't like Cousins, believes that things got off the rails last year over Cousins' refusal to get a COVID vaccination. Quote, I think it really came to a head during training camp when Kirk and others, and that's the thing, there were others on the team that decided not to get vaccinated.
Yeah.
But it was like Kirk was being singled out. You know, I love Lieber. You love Lieber. I hope we have him on again this year. But I would say you're going to be singled out if you're the quarterback of the team.
Right.
I mean, if indeed we buy the notion that as quarterback you're a leader of the team, you're going to be singled. That's not about number eight. That's about
the position.
I think Zimmer would be pissed no matter who it was if he wasn't vaccinated and he felt at that point they had a chance to be as disruptive as ultimately as it was when he missed a game. That to me is something that shouldn't be all that surprising. Now, you could say, though, how far Zimmer carries it, is he cutting his nose to spite his face because he's still his quarterback? And that's a fair point, too. I can listen to that. But, yeah, you're going to be singled out, and you're going to especially be singled out if you make a production out of, I'm going to do everything I can for this team.
Yep.
I'm committed to do everything I possibly can to get this team back in the position it wants to be back in, which was what, the postseason, because we had missed the postseason playoffs the year before.
Right.
So that part shouldn't be, to me, that's not anything that makes Mike Zimmer look bad. It's the quarterback of the club. And as a result, if you're a guy, well, I like the way that Florio finishes the story. He mentions Zim never really masked his disdain towards anyone for any reason. It sort of worked for him as a head coach until it didn't.
Yep.
That's the biggest problem with the Parcells style approach. If it works, you're a winner.
Yep.
If it doesn't, well, you're just another ass bleep. And that's true. Although I would argue that's true no matter what your style is. You know, if your style is collaborative and everybody, we're all in this together and we relationships are important and we love each other, that's good as long as you're winning. I mean, if you, though, struggle for two straight seasons, nobody's going to give a damn. They're going to say, well, that's great that you're on a first-name basis with everybody, and when you pass each other in the hall, you not only say hello, you hug each other.
Right.
Not going to matter if you're not winning enough games.
It's why we always talk about it, especially in the NFL, you almost always get the opposite coach of
that's
the one
it.
You just had.
And that this team has been proof of that.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. It's uncanny, and I'm sure they're not alone. But to go back a year ago, it seems like so long ago, every team, everybody, every quarterback was being asked about their vaccination status. Rodgers with the immunized, and we know that ended up biting him. But we had coaches flexing. I think it was Tampa Bay going 100% on our team. We love it. Like, it was a big deal. It was a big thought. And there were other quarterbacks that didn't get vaccinated. Obviously, Rodgers was one of them. But there were also others, and they kind of had to...
Correct.
Either they didn't get asked about it, or they didn't talk about it, or whatever it was. And it was huge news all over the league on who was and who wasn't, and what those reasons were, and what that might mean. But there's a reason why the quarterback talks every Wednesday, or whatever day it is, right? And everybody else, you might get a podium session with them, or it might be a scrum. But every NFL quarterback's talking every Wednesday, and that's because they're the leader of the team.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Now, what's happening in front of us here? Is this Cousins out of the gun?
Cousins out of the gun again. Yeah, I think it's Cook to his right. Man, we got four
wide
receivers.
This is against the defense this time.
Well, the starters are down here.
Okay.
So this is against some defense.
At least it's bodies.
Yeah, including one guy who's like looks like an offensive quality control coach. He's wearing a baseball hat, the free safety back here at the 25-yard line.
Well, that was an odd deal where the play took forever to develop.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a double and triple clutch, and then ultimately it came to number 17 to the left.
KJ Osborne,
almost as if it was the play was blown dead or something.
May have been,
but maybe there's a method to do to this to the slow motion part to figure out where everybody's supposed to be, et cetera. I don't know.
And look at who's
in
right
real time.
Next,
that play would be a problem.
It would be. Yeah. And there's Kevin O'Connell right to the next play,
just in his
eight.
Ear.
Says, "Here's what we're doing."
Yeah,
he's got a very nice gait.
Well, he does have a nice gait, and I mentioned during the break, he appears to be fashioning a look. whereas other coaches, some of them have shorts on. Many of them have short sleeve shirts on. The day we were out there, it was the long, tall, long sleeve and Lululemon pants.
Yes.
And the same today.
And the cloud shoes. Very fashionable cloud shoes.
Yeah, so it looks, I mean, I think it's fair to say that on the sidelines, Zim did not chisel out a mythic presence in that sense. With, you know, he didn't even really seem to care what he wore.
No. Well, I'll say it this way. It's a good thing Jacob Fry got those Vanity Fair stories in while he did.
Because
there's a new sheriff
There's no
in town.
Question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that him approaching the 40?
Yep.
Yeah,
that's putting on the headset.
Putting on the headset. Is he going to be on with us right now? Probably not.
Hey, Dan.
Yeah.
He just jumped on. Looks like they might be doing some live stuff here. That'd be cool.
It's even better. All right, I'll tell you what. Let's stay on schedule. Let's take a pause and prepare to chat with Kevin Seifert, ESPN.com. He's covering the Vikings again. He is on the field level. We're at the press box. Don't forget, also, before we are done, we've got a what we like to call in the business a power pack lineup that might get even more power packed. There might be, they tell me, a surprise or two coming. We know, can't give away any details there because I don't want to overpromise, and I don't even know for sure how it's going to go for us. But we do know that at the end of practice, we'll be joined by Vikings' new interior defensive lineman, Harrison Phillips. We know we got Lavelle, 5:30. And we also know that Nordo will check in. Maybe the good time for Nordo would be after Seifert. We'll see.
If that's, we can, because practice is about to,
that's
to
a really
wrap
good
up
point.
About that
really
time.
Good. Well, do you want to try to sneak in something quick with him now?
No, I think we break.
Let's break. We'll come back with Seifert and then maybe see if we can get some Nordo on the sideline.
F-A-N.
Looks like the Vikings' first team laboring right in front of us. When I say laboring, I don't mean they're struggling. I just mean they're in labor. They are working. They are toiling right in front of us. We are at the People's Stadium, downtown Minneapolis. That's the location for Vikings practice today for various reasons. Kevin Seifert is down on the field and kind enough to join us. He, of course, covers the Vikings and the National Football League for ESPN and ESPN.com. Do you consider yourself, this is the first year you've had to really, you know, cover a team at this level in a while, every day, basically. So you feel like you're in midseason form? Are you still a little bit rusty? Are you trying to work the cobwebs out? How does it feel, though?
Well, the last time I covered a team as a beat writer, Twitter didn't exist.
Think about that.
And so it's a whole new world, man. Like, I'm trying to figure out, do people really want me to be telling them, you know, what's happening on every play?
They do.
And then doing it so fast that I'm misspelling every five words. Do they care about that?
Yes.
Do they need to see video of a guy going half speed?
It shouldn't matter, but they do. They need their fix. I can speak for them. I don't think there's any question.
Well, it'll get there's definitely be a lot of engagement numbers, as we like to say now.
if
I put that out, but it's been a I would not say I'm in midseason form because the beat as it exists now didn't exist when I was last a beat writer. So I'll be learning. I'll be it's a challenge, and we'll be ready when the Packers come in. I can tell you that.
Well, that by then I'm sure you'll be in midseason form by then. What are the rules? Like, are you allowed to mention, it looks to me like 80% of the time in this particular practice, the Vikings are in two wide outs, two tight ends, or whatever it might be? Or is that considered, what's fair game for the beat reporters in terms of not giving away too much so that the Packers are better prepared for that opener?
Well, I mean, the broad guideline is not to give away a specific strategy. And
okay.
So I don't know if what you just said would count as specific strategy or if it would be very valuable, because it might be a practice where it was 80% because that's what they decided they needed to work on, and
sure,
not because they have any intention of using, you know, that particular formation a lot this season. And so there'll be, every coach is a little different. Every coach has his different levels of sensitivity. We're still learning where Kevin O'Connell lands on that. My general feeling is to try to be minimal when it comes to trying to project what the team is going to do based on what I'm seeing on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Smart.
Yeah.
And partly because if you go too hard on it, they probably won't do it because they'll feel like you exposed them anyway. And that, you know, so it's a little bit of a catch 22, but there's a lot of value to watching them work and seeing what they're doing. I'm not sure if the incremental updates on what happened right now and what's going to happen in 25 minutes will be of much value in terms of knowing what's going to happen when the season starts.
All right, let's talk. We've talked a lot of offense the last couple of weeks with you. Let's talk a little bit about the defense. In fact, right after practice, Harrison Phillips is supposed to join us.
Okay.
And let's start with the defensive line, because the Vikings are going 3-4. We talked, I think, in fact, we finished up the other day. You mentioned that they believe, this staff, or certainly O'Connell believes, that's the sort of defense, at least in base, that tends to give the kind of passing offenses he prefers the most difficulty. So they go that route. Maybe they got some coaches who prefer it as well. But there's that age-old question of, can you sort of, on the fly, without any significant issue, switch from a 4-3 to a 3-4. And you know, if we talk about or have you talk about the personnel at the line of scrimmage, how should we feel about the mix of players that we have?
Well, I mean, they had to retrofit. You know, they didn't do a ton in free agency, but they did have to retrofit the defensive line, signing, as you said, Harrison Phillips, and then they had to sign Jordan Hicks to be another, you know, because you need two inside linebackers along with Eric Kendricks. So that's how you do that shift, is you have to get your scouting department and your personnel department and general manager on board with it and go out and get the fill the gaps of your roster. And so then you got to get all those new guys playing together and understanding what each guy is going to do. And so that does take some time. You know, that's another thing, though, that I really, like, caution people about in terms of, like, going too far down the road on 3-4, 3-4, 3-4.
Mm-hmm.
That's the base.
Right.
The way the NFL has moved, and this is not new, you know, the listeners will know this, like, there is so much nickel that is used right now because so many teams are in that 3 and 4 receiver sets or whatever formations they're in. Teams feel more comfortable having a third cornerback in there and having 5 total DBs or sometimes even the dime. And so those alignments actually get used much more than the base. And so when they're in that, they're not going to have it's not going to be a 3-4. It'll probably be closer to a 4-3 or a 2-4 or something, you know, along those lines. And so I don't know how often we'll see them line up in a classic 3-4 with Danelle Hunter and Za'Darius Smith, you know, lined up, you know, as outside linebackers and standing up. I mean, I think part of that will be really seeing how well Danelle Hunter does in those situations. You know, is he going to be better with his hand down, and should they figure out a way to do that, or can he rush just as well from standing up? But ultimately, if things go as you would think they are going to go, and that's based on, you know, the past probably decade of NFL offense and the evolution there, they'll be in that 3-4 in certain situations, but if you add up the total number of plays that they're in, it'll be far less than half, you know, far less than the majority of the game, I would bet.
Kevin Seifert, ESPN.com. It's no secret that this defense was leaky the last couple of seasons, and a defense that once upon a time was good against the run was awful against the run. So based on Phillips, some of the other people that we have in there, what can we look to? I mean, what should guide us in trying to get to that spot where we think the Vikings have a chance to make a big jump in terms of doing a better job against the run?
Well, I mean, I think they'll have Dalvin Tomlinson in exactly the right position you want to have him in at that nose tackle. So when they are in, you know, run-based defense, like, that's a really good start. And Harrison Phillips is almost another nose tackle. He plays that on the end, but he's almost, in terms of the way he stops the run, too. So they do have two pretty stout run defenders right up there when it comes to that. And then you have, you know, you say, okay, how's Eric Kendricks going to be when he's not the middle linebacker? He's one of the two inside linebackers when they are in that 3-4. And Jordan Hicks, I think, has been very solid in his career against the run. So they have the pieces there to do it. And it ultimately becomes the chess match of other teams running when you're in a bad run look. And is Ed Donatell, as a defense coordinator, going to be able to sort of anticipate what the offenses are going to do, and is he going to be able to have the right run fit in there when other teams are looking to run? And when they try to run against their pass defense, are those guys aware enough and stout enough in the nickel that they can actually stop it? So I think it'll be that combination. It'll be like, I think they're pretty well set for when they are in their base to do a good job against the run, but will that nickel defense be able to defend the run when other teams try to capitalize on it?
What is the Donatell philosophy of defense when it comes to applying pressure? Is he a blitz guy? Is he a guy who's more conservative in that regard? What's his history? What does that tell us?
Yeah, he plays sort of the Vic Fangio. You know, those guys are of one mind. So if you remember with the Bears, and you remember, you know, more recently in Denver when Fangio was the head coach. I mean, there is some blitzing. I don't know that it'll be exactly what we saw with Zimmer in terms of blitzes coming from odd areas. You know, the cornerback coming from all the way from the outside, or the safety, you know, at the last, you know, moving up and then moving back and moving up, moving back. You know, I think we're going to see it some, but I really think they want to see if they can get that base pass rush going with those two big outside guys that they have, and hopefully not need that blitz as much as maybe you've seen in the past.
And we were talking about Harrison Smith earlier. Guards he was taking a shot at him, thought he was a little bit slow getting to the outside receiver in the end zone. You know,
I think that outside receiver was Justin Jefferson, if it's the one that you're talking
about. I think that's exactly
it. He's not bad.
He's in charge of those guys, though, right? I mean,
it's supposed
aren't
to be.
We good on good?
So here's where I'm leading. We've got some established defensive players with pretty big names, right? Kendricks comes to mind. Harrison Smith comes to mind at the top of the list. We know about Hunter Daniil. I want to get into more detail about him in a minute. But are they, based on your intel, based on your preparation for figuring out, now that you're looking at it much more closely, what this team was as recently as a year ago and where they might be now, are we still getting, I mean, what the sort of production that we assume we're getting because they have the names that they do?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, our ESPN guys did a ranking of every, you know, top 10 ranking of every position, and I think Harrison Smith might have been at the very the bottom of the top 10 or right outside the top 10, and Kendricks didn't make it. I think there's, you know, it's hard to compare, you know, where their speed is right now, based on what we're seeing in camp. But in terms of what people, and that ranking was based on talking to like 50 GMs and scouts and what their assessment is, the league viewpoint, the league consensus on those guys is that they're on the other side of their peak. And like, I don't think that's an insult to say that based on their ages, especially when it comes to Harrison Smith. And so the question is not, are they still at their best, but can the Vikings coaching staff put them in the right position to still be really effective and maybe cover up for some of the things if they have lost a step or if they aren't quite as strong or whatever as they used to be. And so, you know, both of those guys, you know, have played a lot longer than they're going to play, I think is probably the best way to put it. And so, you know, I don't think that they're at a point where, like, you have to worry about them being at the end of their careers, but you certainly have to, at least, I think it's only responsible team building and responsible coaching to at least assess if you need to adjust the way, you know, you're using them and put and making sure that you're putting them in spots that they can do the job you're asking them to do.
Daniil, you know, again, nobody's going really at full speed yet, but, you know, you can take a look at the way he's moving the whole bit. What are your observations on him? Can you take anything away from what you've seen on Daniil? Because what people want to know is the obvious, is that we want the old Daniil. We want the Daniil that seemed to be headed for a Hall of Fame first ballot superstardom. What do you think is fair to say at this point?
I think he looks refreshed, like just from a personality standpoint. I mean, he looks like weight's been lifted to a certain extent. Lots of smiles, lots of, a very strong relationship with Za'Darius Smith already. You just see them on the sidelines with Mike Smith, their position coach, and always seem to be having a good time. Always seem to be keeping people, you know, pumped up and also light at the same time. And so, I think that's pretty important. You know, obviously it's not as important as whether his body can stay healthy, and that I think is the big thing. And what's been noticeable there is they're taking it easy with him. And I like that. There's no reason to run him ragged, even if you're in a new scheme and there's new coaching staff and, you know, in theory, he hasn't proved anything to anybody. There's no reason to run him ragged now. I think that's been a big thing from Kevin O'Connell on all the training camp practice planning and all the what I've seen so far from the start of OTAs until today is erring on the side of not putting players in position to hurt themselves during a practice or even setting themselves up for extreme exertion that over time can lead to those soft tissue injuries. So what I've noticed is that they've been taking it easy with him. He's on the sideline. He's working out with some of the trainers and the strength staff, and he gets in there during team stuff, and it's not like he's not practicing, but they're being smart with him. And I think that's to be noted. And after 2 years of really tough injury battles, I think that's probably the prudent thing.
So when you suggest the burden has been lifted, are you saying once again that Zimmer, the oppressor, being gone is what's changed?
Fair follow-up.
It's amazing. You guys, every time I turn around, it's another example of the oppressor.
I think maybe that's the case, but what I meant more is just like
being healthier.
Being healthy, yeah. You know, like last year he came into camp and he had obviously had missed that whole year, and everybody's, you know, a lot of mystery about why and
tweak, sure,
yeah, and all that kind of stuff, and it was still it was awkward, you know, at least from the outside. Maybe he didn't feel that way, but it certainly looked that way from the outside, and he just looks like the guy from a few years ago in terms of just his personality and mentality. And like I said, that's not as important as whether his body can stay healthy, but it's certainly notable.
Anything else that struck your eye today or even since we, because we chatted, yeah, we chatted a couple days before practice began. We had Gesling on Wednesday. What else is in your head as you prepare for your next big piece?
Well, I saw Jared Allen is down here. He's I think he's in town for some to speak, have a speaking engagement, and he's going to, I think he'll talk to the team a little bit afterwards.
Intriguing.
It's always good to see him. I think the speaking engagement's unrelated to Vikings, so he just happened to be in. So if you're going to be in Minnesota on a Friday afternoon, why not come to U.S. Bank Stadium and see all your
sure.
old friends?
Yeah.
And so he and Jared looks like he could still line up and probably beat a few slower left tackles off the ball. And so you never know. I mean, you get to the end of the season and you need bodies. And so it's.
Did he play in a 3-4?
With this coaching staff,
that's
of course
true.
He could. They could coach him up to do anything.
That's true.
The burden is lifted from him as well.
It might well be lifted from pretty much everybody.
Yeah.
Gardsey was so delighted with
Kellen Mond
that he thinks he's already won the number two job. Too much enthusiasm? Or
no, I think the big thing is, like, I mean, it's very noticeable that there is a competition. I mean, we, you know, we had a, maybe it was my just preconceived notion that because of the well-discussed Cousins-Manning relationship, he was locked in as number two, and there's no evidence of that based on the way they're rotating those two guys in and out. I don't think one has had more reps than the other with the twos, but it's the fact that it's split is very notable. And I don't know that I have a ton of inside information there, but I think you can read between the lines when you've got a veteran guy and a young guy and a new coaching staff. And I think the new coaching staff would probably love to see the young guy take, you know, some steps and show that he can be, you know, counted on if they need to use him on the field. They already know what Manning can do one way or the other, just because he's been around for a long time, and you don't expect him to get much better than where he's at. But a second-year player absolutely can make a huge jump, and if they can get him in the right mindset, and they can get him, playing quick and seeing the defense as he needs to see it, I think there's a lot of excitement that potentially he could be getting that job. And I also think it's not out of the question that when we get to that week one, neither one of them will be the backup. It could be somebody that comes in with a new coaching staff. I think you just have to, that's the lesson I've learned this week, is you have to drop the preconceived notions of that they're going to necessarily view the depth chart the same way the previous coaching staff did.
That makes sense. You had tweeted out a link to a piece, an ESPN piece, that attempted to sort of evaluate schedules a different way, specifically as it pertains to those various tiers of quarterbacks. That ranking is based on, as you mentioned, the poll that you guys put together. No, was that you or the
Athletic?
The Athletic
one. This one was the Athletic.
I can't keep up with all
the
polls.
A lot of rankings.
Yeah. But you linked to one of them, and it was a kind of a fresh new, and maybe it's not that new, but maybe I'm just trying to pay attention to it, exciting way to evaluate on that basis. And it does suggest, at least going in, a stark contrast between the challenge facing the Vikings defenses a year ago.
Yeah.
And the quarterback challenge is facing the Vikings defense in 2022.
Right, and some of that's weighted by your division, or it's more than weighted by your division, because you play those guys twice, and you're going to play Justin Fields twice, and I think that was the Sando rankings, and
correct.
Fields is a tier 4 quarterback in those rankings, and you're going to play Jared Goff twice, you assume that's going to be who it is.
Yeah.
And he's, I think, a bottom of tier 3, and so then there's Rodgers, of course, but if you're in the NFC, in the AFC West, your schedule looks brutal, which you already knew. But it's just a different way to look at how you're gonna, like, instead of looking at like last year's winning percentage,
right,
which I think is not that valuable, you look at the strength of the quarterbacks that you're gonna face, and overall, the Vikings, I think, were ranked 25th in terms of strength of schedule, based on the tiers of quarterbacks that they're gonna play, and so that's good news. Doesn't mean that a Justin Fields can't make a huge second, you know, season step. There's a lot of doubters in Chicago and around the league, I think, that he can do that. But there are, you know, that could change things dramatically, especially by the end of the year. But as it stands now, I think that they do have a schedule where there's not you know, the level of quarterback play isn't as high as some of the other teams in the league.
Last item. Have I missed the signing of Ndamukong Suh by anybody? Is he still out there?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, he's still out there.
Are we interested in him? Should we be interested in him? I know for a while there was some, you know, some rumors about that or speculation. I don't know if it's because people were, you know, excited about the name. I don't know what he's got left in him.
Yeah.
What do we think about that?
Well, I mean, the interesting thing is he's always been sort of that three technique in the 4-3. And after saying that, it doesn't matter that the Vikings are playing a 3-4 because they're not going to be in it as much. I would still say that, like, it would, if you signed him, it would be as like a situational pass rusher.
Right.
And maybe that's where he's at in this point in his career. He was still pretty effective last year for Tampa. And so I think there's still gas in the tank there. But a lot of times when you hear about teams supposedly being interested, that's coming from the player side more than the teams, I think. And so maybe he was trying to drum up, or somebody was trying to drum up some interest. With a new GM and a new coaching staff, I wouldn't rule anything out in terms of what they might do towards the end of training camp, and as cuts come in terms of retrofitting the roster. We already talked about the backup quarterback possibility, and so I can't rule it out, but it doesn't seem like it's there's an urgent need there, nor a perfect fit.
Do you have sun protection on right now? Because even in the, you know, you can get, you're right in, I can see your spot. You're flush, full flush in the sun. I hope you don't end up with a sunburn now.
Well, I thought about that, but isn't this roof supposed to protect you from ultraviolet rays? Or am I just as vulnerable standing here in the sun inside as I would be?
Well, you know what? Come to think of it, I think you're, in fact, I think,
I'm going to go ask. Should I go ask Ziggy? He's here. I'll go ask Ziggy if he put the right coating on that on the roof so that I don't have to worry about getting burned.
I think now it jogs my memory. It does protect you from the sun, but it also makes more likely that the birds are going to fly into the glass killed. So that's
a sacrifice I'm willing to make. Every day of the week.
Sure. Thanks, as always, man. We'll be in touch next week.
Okay, Dan.
Kevin Seifert from downfield level. We're at the press box level. Vikings practice, perhaps in its final minutes. Supposed to go till about 4:15 or so. So we'll see. They finished early the day we were out at TCO. If we have time when we come back, maybe we'll check in with Nordo, who's also down on the field, and we'll remind you of some other very special guests today before we wrap it up from our spot at 6:30.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.